Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Come on, the Word House, open up your mouth and give Jesus the biggest praise in this place. I said, open up your mouth and give Jesus the biggest praise in this place. I just wonder if anyone came here legally. You came with praise and you came with thanksgiving. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Come on. Open up your mouth and give Jesus the biggest, the baddest, the greatest. Woo! You know, Pastor, we make cars. We make phones, we make electronics. Man is very innovative. We do a lot of things. But in everything we've made, we've never made a day. So this is the day that the Lord has made. And I wonder, is there anyone here that is excited? I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. This is Super Sunday. Turn to your neighbor and tell them this is a season of good news. Woo! I have a question for you. If you were convicted of being a worshiper, is there enough evidence to convict you? Has God been good to you? I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost in this place. I gotta calm down before I preach like I'm in Houston, Texas. This is insane. This is crazy, guys. Look at your neighbor and tell them I'm going to disturb you for the next 45 minutes. What did they say? Oh, you were sitting beside the wrong neighbor. Look at the other neighbor and tell them I'm going to be disturbing you for the next 45 minutes. What did they say? Did they see anything? Oh, you must be sitting beside the wrong person. Look behind you and tell them I'm going to bother you for the next 45 minutes. What did they say? Well, it seems you don't sit around the right person there. You can open up your own mouth and give Jesus the biggest shout in this place. Woo! I came ready for you this Sunday morning. Look at your neighbor and tell them I'm going to be talking to you all through the service. So just in case you don't like the way I look, the way I smile, the way I shout, call an usher and you can switch over and look for another seat. But I'm not going to leave here because God has a blessing for me with my name on it. Woo! I gotta calm down. Come on. Can you give it up for City of David? Come on. Thank you, City of David. I want to also say thank you to my younger brother. He did an amazing job. Thank you, Uzo, for taking us into the throne room. I just want to give honor to the founder and the visionary and the metropolitan senior pastor of all the House and Rock churches in his absence, Pastor Paul Adeforas. And I wanted to put your hands together and celebrate the gift of God in his life. Thank you for all you do for the kingdom. If you are watching online, leave a comment and let him know how honored and how excited you are about him. And I can't fail to appreciate the bishop over this house, Reverend Dr. Edwin and Sonia. That's good. That's good. That's good. I love it. Amen. I always like to say when you thank God for the gift of a man, you're thanking the giver of the gift. So let's do it one more time and thank God for the giver of this gift, called Reverend Dr. Edwin Baibe. I want to thank you, Pastor Ben. Thank you also all the pastors of of this great assembly. Thank you for the leadership here. I'm so honored to be here. This is the Word House, and I have a word for you. I bring greetings from Pastor Kian Henderson in the Lighthouse Church in Houston, Texas. If you are ever in the Houston area, make sure you stop by the Lighthouse Church. I bring you greetings from my wife and my family. I have an assignment from the Holy Ghost, but before I do that, I want you to celebrate yourself because you are the church. Amen. You see, Pastor told me that I can be free here. And Pastor told me, just do whatever you want. And I'm going to preach like an African man today. Is that okay? Because I am an African man. You see, when I preach in the U.S., they wonder where I came from. Now I'm here where I came from, and I'm going to preach like I've lost my man. Is that okay? My assignment is from Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to skip over a couple of verses. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, I feel the fragrance of God's power and presence in this place. I'm going to use the New King James Version, Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to pick a couple of verses. First of all, I'm going to start from verse 1 through verse 3, then skip over to a couple of verses. Numbers chapter 13, the New King James Version. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Verse 3. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who are heads of the children of Israel. Verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south. And go into the mountains, verse 18. And watch this. See what the land is like. Whether the people, this is very important, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. Verse 19. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Interesting. Whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Verse 20. Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit. Everybody said the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grape, and they carried it between two men. In other words, the grapes were so large that it took two men to carry it. Verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel, and they brought back word to the congregation, verse 27, and they said to them, we went to the land that you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. This is the evidence. 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. In other words, we saw the giants. Verse 30. Then Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said to them, let us go up at once and possess, for we are able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with them said, no, we can't do this. We are not able to do this. We are not. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. They said, the land, it devours its inhabitants, and the people whom we saw are great men of stature. Verse 33, that's the last verse. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. For the next few minutes, I want to speak on a subject that says, don't let the size fool you. Don't let the size fool you. Father, we ask for the anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy. We ask that you move from center to circumference and fill this place with your power, fill this place with your glory. At the end of the day, let there be an experience beyond the excitement. Let there be transformation. Holy Spirit of God, show up and show out. You are the way, you are the truth, and you're the life. Show up in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the believers be edified, the enemies be terrified, and let Jesus be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God say, amen. On your way to your seat, look at your neighbor one more time and tell them, don't let the size fool you. Don't let the size fool you. The book of Numbers is a very interesting book. The book of Numbers documents and chronicles the journey of the children of Israel going through the wilderness. They had been in bondage in Egypt for 400 plus years. And here they had to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. This is very important because it lets us know that our wilderness experiences, our season of pain and struggle is not wasted. That every so often, God will document your journey so that you don't forget where he brought you from. He does that. I know it's very early in the sermon, but I came here as a reminder to let you know that yes, you are not where you want to be, but no, you are not where you used to be. I wish I had a witness in the house, but I know in my spirit that some of you should have been dead, but God. Some of you, the doctors told you you would never have a child, but God. Look at you today. You are a testament of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. I want you to understand that God is not just your keeper. He doesn't just keep you. He keeps his word over your life. And God has been faithful over your life. When you were jobless, God was faithful. And look at you. They wrote you off, and yet you are still here. The psalmist says, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And another version comes up with this. It says, when men said there is a casting down, I would say there is a lifting up. His mercy is new every morning. I don't care what happened last night. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Look at your neighbor and tell them joy is here. We need to realize that God is not just in the deliverance ministry. God is in the delivery ministry. God does not just deliver you and abandon you. God delivers you and delivers things to you, just like a dispatch rider. God delivers things to you. He doesn't just bring you out of stuff. He delivers stuff to you. And that is very important because where you are now is not your destination. Where you are now is transition. Look at your neighbor and tell them the show is not yet over. Oh, that's the wrong neighbor. Look at the other neighbor and tell them the show is not yet over. If God has not shown up, the show is not yet over. It's not going to end like this. If God brought you to it, God is going to bring you through it. Did your neighbor ask for a scripture? I'm glad they asked. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I have scripture for you. Well, my Bible says, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Look at your neighbor and tell them, do you want another scripture? What did they say? They said, yes, okay, I have one more scripture for you. He that began this good work will bring it to a perfect end. All I came to do, the word house, is to let you know that if God has spoken a word over your life, he is going to bring it to pass. Somebody shout yes! Woo! God cannot mismanage your life. I said, God cannot mismanage your life. I said, God cannot mismanage your life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, whatever he alphas, he omegas. Whatever he begins, he ends. Look at your name and say, don't take me for granted. It's not going to end like this. I'm going to get the raise. It's not going to end like this. I'm going to get the job. It's not going to end like this. I'm going to get the promotion. It's not going to end like this. I've got oil on my head. Somebody shout it. Yes. Somebody shout yes. Whatever God begins, he ends. Woo! It's going to happen in your life. You are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I came with a prophetic anointing to let you know the Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more. Somebody shout yes! have not yet started. We're just starting. It's one thing to go through the wilderness in secret. It's one thing to go through your shortcomings in secret. It's another thing when God documents your shortcomings for everyone to see. In the book of Numbers, that's exactly what we read. God documents the struggles. God documents their wilderness experience. Now, you can say whatever you want to say about the children of Israel, but what do you do when your mishaps and mistakes and shortcomings and failures are public record? And everyone can see it. Now, we have the luxury and we have the liberty to just say anything about the children of Israel. Oh, they doubted. Oh, they don't have faith. But you can say that because you can read their own experiences. What about you? You know, because we live in a day and age where we are only accustomed to showing our success and not our failures. We always highlight our highlights and not our lowlights. We talk about the big days and not the bad days. But can I shock you? We need to understand that when you stop trying to show off, God begins to show up in your life. God goes into action when He's the only option. And for some of you, you've been bragging about your education and bragging about your expertise and bragging about, and God is saying, you are delaying and disrupting my plan for your life. Because where divine intervention starts is where human interference stops. Let go and let God have His way. So just like the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, watch this. If God allowed your struggles to be public, then it means somehow that God understands that if your struggle can be public, your victory will be public. God is not going to allow your struggle to be public and your victory to be private, because He prepares a table. The reason some of you have not gotten the breakthrough yet is because you don't have enough enemies. And God is saying, I'm going to wait when you... Most of you have one or two enemies. God says, this is a buffet. I'm going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies so your enemies can watch you eat this food, and they're going to clean up at the end of the day, by the way. And God is saying, in this season, you need enemies. Because you need an audience to understand the blessing God has for you. Can you look at somebody and tell them, don't take me for granted? I've told you before, don't take me for granted. Oh, your neighbor sounds like they don't believe you. Look at the other neighbor and say, don't take me for granted. Tell them, my rising will be surprising. My emergence will be an emergency. Every place they laughed at you, they're going to begin to laugh with you. I prophesy to you this day, this is going to be your season of good news. Breaking news, news flash. Your time has come. The set time to favor Zion has come. What house do I have anyone that is a witness of God's faithfulness and God's goodness? Take the next 30 seconds and give God the biggest praise. Give Him the praise. This passage starts out with God telling Moses to tell the people to spy the land. In other words, you need vision to take possession. Because if your eyes cannot see it, your hands cannot seize it. This is important because a lot of us have scriptures that we say, but we don't have pictures that we see. And so God needs to give your scriptures pictures so you can begin to see. Because the Bible says, as far as your eyes can see, I will give you. That means if your eyes can see far, your eyes can see near. And for some of you, the eyes that is a revelation, or the eyes that gives you revelation, can also become a limitation. And this is why I always like to say that blindness is not when you cannot see what is in front of you. Blindness is when you cannot see what God has for you. And some people are blind and they don't even know. Because there is a difference between insight and eyesight. And a lot of us have eyesight, but we don't have insight. And God is saying, in this season, if you're going to get to the next level of your life, in this season, you have to spy it before you seize it. Spy the land before you seize the land. Some of you here need to go to the car dealership and just test drive the car. And they ask you, what is happening? Just tell them, you don't understand. I'm just spying the land. So some of you need to just go. I'm speaking to someone. You've been believing God for the fruit of the womb. And all you need to do is to go back to your house. That room you've prepared for your baby, go and paint it. Go and decorate it. Go and put some baby stuff. And I'm not telling you to do what I did not do. I did it for my second child. For my second child, Abigail. And we put up baby clothes and we began to prophesy. And she came out. We put up baby girl stuff. And she came out a girl. I'm talking to you, young man. You've been believing God to get married. Go and get the ring. And they ask you, what are you doing? Tell them, I'm just spying the land. And they ask you, when is your wedding? Tell them, it's none of your business. I'm going to talk to the young lady that is believing God to get married. Go and get your wedding gown. And they ask you, when is your wedding? Tell them, it's none of your business. Is none of your business. For the man believing God to go abroad, go get you a suitcase, go pack your bags and drive to the airport. And they ask you, where are you going? Say, I'm just test driving my future. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I see clearly now. I see your blessing. I see your breakthrough. I see your favor. I see open doors. I see good news. Somebody's got here. Hold your neighbor. Grab your hands and grab their hands like you're about to shake it off. And tell them, miracle doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The miraculous is ridiculous. The miraculous is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. I'm spying the land. Give God a praise in this place. Pastor, you know the reason why some of them are sitting down? Because you've not spied the land. The other day I was watching the Premier League. I'm not going to tell you who my team is because they are not doing very well now. I did my master's in Manchester, so you can figure it out. Jesus, man, you. Okay, so the other day they were playing a soccer game. Not yesterday that we drew. That's a different conversation. But have you ever been watching your favorite team and the TV is delayed and you get the notification that your team has scored before they actually score? Has it happened to you? It happens to me every time. For whatever reason, my phone is faster. And I get the notification that Man U has scored. And I begin to jump, even though they have not yet scored on TV. And my wife looks at me and says, why are you jumping and shouting? And I said, I just got a notification. I just got an alert. You see, the reason some of you are sitting down is because you've not gotten the notification. Not everything that has breath. Somebody's down here. Yes. Listen. This next shout, you are going to shout like you've gotten the baby. This next shout, you are going to shout like you've gotten the visa. This next shout, you are going to shout like you've gotten the open door. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Look at your neighbor, tell them, give me some space. Give me some space. Because miracle doesn't make sense. The miraculous is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Are you ready? I just got a notification that some of you are about to be blessed. I got a notification that some of you are about to be healed. I got a notification that cancer has dried up. Are you ready? Give Jesus the biggest. Give Jesus. Yes. 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 I see your healing coming. I see your breakthrough coming. I got an alert. Somebody is about to be blessed. Shout yes. Sit down, we're just talking. Sit down, sit down, sit down. This is good. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this place. Cancer is drying up. Yesterday we were celebrating my mom's 70th birthday and 5 years of being cancer free. I didn't come with enticing words of men's wisdom. I came with an experience of God's power. Healings are taking place. Breakthroughs, promotion. But all you need to do is to spy the land. I'm telling you, when I bought that cloak and I was prophesying to my daughter's cloak, the first time, this happened twice, I was believing God for a son. I didn't even know the gender of the baby shoe I bought. I don't even know I'm going this way. And I put it up. And when we got the boy, Asher, I told God, I need a girl. He said, look at the shoe you bought. It's for a boy. And I looked at it and said, oh, it's a boy. He said, go do the same thing for a girl. I went to Carter's and I got a baby dress. And I put it up. And I began to confess and prophesy. And God gave us the name of the baby girl. I'm telling you that if you can spy the land, you can seize the promise of God. Some things are not taught. Some things are just caught. So when you look at this text, you may think, this is good, church, listen. When you look at this text, you may think that spying the land was God's idea. I used to think that it was really God that told them to spy the land. Because when you read our text, it says, and God said, Pastor, I kid you not, I was shocked to find out that yes, it was a good idea, but it was not a God idea. Ezekiel 26, I'm glad you asked, Pastor, can you prove it? Let me show you something. The truth about this matter is that God already spied the land. Do you know that? Ezekiel 26, it says, on that day, I raised my hand in an oath. Is that the same? 26? Yes. Let's use the New King James Version. Can we use the New King James Version? On that day, I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt to a land that I have searched out for them. Flowing, church, listen, with milk and honey. So God already searched the land and told them to go possess the land. But Pastor, you are contradicting yourself. Why did God tell them in our text to spy the land? I'm glad you asked. Good job. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 21. I'm going to explain what happened. Because this was Moses' narration. Let's use the NIV version. And it says, see, this is Moses narrating what actually happened. Listen to what Moses said. the NIV says, "See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." This is important, guys. Look at verse 22. It says, Pastor, it says, "Then all of you came to me," Moses was telling them what happened, "and said, let us send men to spy out the land for us and bring back word about the..." Look at verse 23. It says, "The idea seemed good to me, so I..." This is Moses. "I..." So when we see our text in Numbers, you think it was God's decision. It was God's permission. It was Moses' decision. But this was not God's original idea. God was like, "If you want to spy the land, go ahead and spy it. But I have spied it already. I've done the reconnaissance, the investigation, the inspection. And this is the problem with us. Because every now and then, we don't believe that God has done due diligence. We want to go ahead and do it all over again. Even though God says, go and take the land, we go to spy the land." So you go into the land as a spy as opposed to going in as an owner. They went in as spies instead of owners. Oh, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is important because some of you think that God is working on your prayers. No, God is working on your pride. He's permitting you and he's working on your will because you want to do it your way. And he said, but this is what... No, it's God's permissive will, not God's perfect will. You have to come to a point where you say, not my will, but your will. Lord, I want this job, but does this job want me? God, I want to go abroad, but am I supposed to go abroad? God, I want to get married to this woman or this man, but is this the right move? Because every door that opens is not an open door. Some doors are traps and other doors are testimonies. God will give you what you want sometimes to show you that what you want is not what you need. Because he wants to let you know that sometimes you have to consult me. And I have a problem with Moses. Moses is so extra. Moses is so erratic. Moses is so emotional. Breaking the Ten Commandments. First of all, he killed an Egyptian, buried him, broke the Ten Commandments, struck the rock. I mean, I can go on and on and on about Moses. So here again, church, listen to me. God told them what? To go and take possession of the land. Then God says, you know what? That's fine. Go spy the land, since that's what you want to do, right? God says, choose men, go spy the land. Remember what he said in Ezekiel. This land is what? Flowing. Follow me. Flowing with milk and honey. But I have a funny... This is funny because Moses, at his own version, Pastor, Moses tells the spies, when you spy the land, see if the land is good or bad. Hold on, Moses. Where did you get bad from? God already told you that this land is flowing with milk and honey. Moses says, I don't really believe what God said. So when you go, can you verify what God said? Can you confirm and just see if what God said is actually... Listen, let me tell you something. When you have a discussion about what God has made a decision about, you might end up in destruction. When God takes a position, he doesn't need your opinion. You know what? To make matters worse, God did not tell Moses to spy the people. God says, spy the land. Oh, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. Yet Moses added his own version. More. Mo said, when you go, Can you check out the people also and see if the people are weak? Who sent you more? See if the people are weak or strong. Listen, whenever you add to what, whenever you add to what God said, you subtract from what God is about to do in your life. This is the problem with gifted people. Moses was gifted. Moses was anointed. But listen to me, if you've not written anything down, please write this down. Your gift is not needed in every season, but your obedience is. I know you're a David, but I don't want you to be king yet. Your obedience is just go and take care of the sheep. Your gift is not needed in every season more. Your obedience is. This is where the rubber meets the road. Because we see Moses sending them to do things God did not send them to do. First of all, God said, just spy out of, okay, because you want it. Now Moses adds, the land might not be good. Check out the people. And you're adding all these things God never said to add. And some people have been spying the wrong thing, feeding your fears and starving your faith. And I studied this text, Pastor, and dispensed one verse on the good report in verse 27. Verse 28, 29, 30, they spent it on the bad report. So the bad report was more than the good report. And I can tell where your faith is by how long your testimony is. Your testimony should be so much that you don't have time to rehearse your problems. For some of you, you are rehearsing your problems and talking about how big your problems are. When you're supposed to be telling your problems how big your God is. That's why the scripture says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even when I'm losing my mind, all times. Even when things are not working out, all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Church, if you have a voice, you have a choice. You know the problem that the jailers made when they put Paul and Silas in prison? That they bound their hands, their feet, their legs, their hair, their eye. They bound everything. The only thing they did not bind is. And as long as you have a voice, you have a choice, and you can get out of any prison. I wonder in this place, is there anyone that can say God has been faithful to me? Is there anyone that can say God has been good to me? Look around your neighbor. Do I have a witness that God has been faithful? If God has been faithful, somebody said yes. Lift your hands if God has been faithful. Give him the praise. Give him a shout. Square your shoulders. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. They got to the land, church, and they saw grapes. Oh my goodness. Grapes. Grapes, because they have been eating manna. You have to understand that grapes are very symbolic of a new thing. The grapes were so heavy that it took two people to carry it. Can I tell you that what God is about to do in your life, it's going to be so big that it's going to take more than you. Some of you need to go and hire an accountant because you're about to be a millionaire in dollars. It's going to be so, I don't know about you, but I received that. Because some of you are about to experience contracts upon contracts upon contracts and promotions. Look at your neighbor, the one that has not spoken to you all service, and tell them it's going to be big. What did they tell you? Did they look suspicious? Did they look like they were jealous? Look at the other neighbor and tell them it's going to be big. I know you got a promotion, but more is coming. I know you got a job, but more is coming. I know you got a contract, but more is coming. Eyes has not seen. Ears has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. What God has prepared, somebody shall be. This is just grape season. Tell them, stop hating on me. This is just the grape season. If you are upset with me and this is just the grape season, what are you going to do when I enter into what? Come on, just stop tripping, stop hating on me. Just take it easy. I've not even started. Look at someone and say, don't stop tripping, stop hating on me. This is just the grape season. But church, what if I told you, as big as the grapes are, as wonderful as the grapes are, that grapes were not the promise? Some of you have settled for a fruit when God wants to give you a future. You've settled for breadcrumbs when God says you can own the bakery. God says, I want to give you an inheritance, and you just want an evidence. Why would you settle for just anything when God says, I want to give you everything? Can you imagine that they came back with a produce when God wants to give them the place? They came back with a harvest when God wants to give them a home. And they were so excited about it. Excited about being spies when they're supposed to be owners. I come against every spirit that makes you to look at it and not get it. Every spirit that makes you to look at your blessing but never hold your blessing. The spy spirit. I speak ownership mentality. It's your job. It's your time. It's your season. It's yours. Somebody said yes. Don't settle. Don't settle for this. Don't settle for this. Don't settle. Oh, I see you in the future and you look much brighter than this. Oh, I say, I see you in the future and you look richer and wealthier. I see you in the future and you look bigger and better. I see you in the future and you look stronger. I see you in the future and you're a good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over. They didn't just see grapes. They also saw giants. Giants? Giants, this is interesting, church. Just give me a couple of minutes. Giants are interesting phenomena because the giants are not there to kill you. You need to understand. Can someone give me a chair? Can I have a seat? Can you just one seat? The giants are not there to kill you. The giants are there to show you where your blessing is. And some of you don't know that the enemy you think is working against you is working for you. Because the land God is going to give you, it's not going to be vacant. You need someone that is going to be tilling the land and working the land before you get there. And so some of you see the people working for you and you think they're working against you. Because you don't know the definition of an enemy is anyone that does not work in accordance to your assignment. The giants are not your enemies. The giants are your friends because they are consistent with your assignment. So friendship is not about agreement. It's about assignment. I was on the airport the other day. I was running to catch a flight. And I was very late. Just before they could close the door, I made it into the aircraft. And I had my seat 3A. And as I came in, I saw someone sitting on my seat. I said, sir, my seat says 3A, and you were clearly on 3A. This is 3A. He said, no. I said, no, this is 3A. Yes, sir, this is 3A. Eventually, he gets up from my seat, and I sit down in my seat because he was just a placeholder. Don't allow a placeholder take your place. All I had to do was to show him my ticket. And I said, this is my seat. Get up. Some of you need to understand this concept. That pastor said we're talking about the cross. By virtue of what Jesus did for you, the blood is your receipt. And all you need to do is to let the enemy know, I'm seated in heavenly places with God. You cannot have my children. Get up. You cannot have my joy. Get up. You cannot have my peace. Get up. You cannot have my, you cannot have it. Get up from my seat. And the funny thing about this is that there were giants. And listen to me. Do you remember David killed a giant? So that means you don't have to be a giant to be a general. You don't have to be a giant to be a general. You don't have to be a giant to be a victor. Because giant is about the size, but victor is about the substance. Some of them, they have the height, but they don't have the heart of a giant. Do you know that as big as God is, God doesn't call himself a giant? You know why? Because the only advantage a giant has is physical. And if I say you are a giant, I'm a giant to my 3-year-old daughter. I lift her up with 2 fingers and I lift her up. In fact, I carry everybody at the same time. I feel like a giant. But the reason why God is not called a giant, even when he showed up, he didn't show up as a giant, he showed up as a baby. You know why? Because when you say someone is a giant, you're comparing it to something else. And because God cannot be compared to anything, so God cannot be a giant, because he's bigger than the biggest. Come on, church. He is greater than the greatest. He is stronger than the strongest. All I'm saying is that the enemy you were scared of is actually scared of you. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm a giant killer. I got to wrap this up. They didn't just see a giant. The Bible says something here that they thought they were grasshoppers. And the grasshopper mentality says, I'm too small for the big things God wants to do in my life. And yes, God forbid, my sister. And I needed to understand that how you see the problem is how you solve the problem. I always like to say you cannot be effective if your perspective is defective. It's important to understand that when you cannot change what you're looking at, change how you look at it. They said we were like grasshoppers. The enemy knows he can. And by the way, do you know God was with them and they thought they were still grasshoppers? So even how God and what God has spoken sometimes is subject to how you see yourself. The enemy knows he cannot mess with how God sees you, but he can mess with how you see how God sees you. God says you're blessed. Do you believe you're blessed? God says you're rich. Do you believe you're rich? Do you know there are many people that believe God says, I can heal you. They believe God can heal. But when it comes to them, it becomes a different ballgame. God, I know you can prosper, but God, can you really prosper me? Do you really believe? Look at your name and tell them, do you believe that he can do it for you? I'll be done in 5. Give me 5 minutes and I'll be done. This is important, church, because the thing about fear and negative mindset is that you cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. As a man thinks, so he is. It's one thing for you to think that you are a grasshopper. That is perception. But it's one thing for you to think that they see you as a grasshopper. That is an assumption. And fear would make you... Listen, I always like to say, don't let people with a vision problem make you feel like they are the problem, like you are the problem. Because right here, they say, we are not able. We? No, you, not me. You see what they said? They said, we are not able. They included you in their problems. Don't let people with a vision problem make you think like you are the problem. We are not able. No, 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 no. I am able. Let us go take this land. I wonder, and I came all the way from Houston, Texas, to let you know that God is about to give you everything you've been believing him for this month. God created the whole world in 6 days. Your life is not a project. Your life is not a project. He created everything you see in 6 days. Think about everything you're believing God for. The breakthroughs, the open doors, the big breaks, the connections, the contract, everything you're believing God for. God says, I'm about to give it to you. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Whose job am I hearing is coming down? Whose job, whose baby can I see? Whose breakthrough can I see? Look for a neighbor that knows what to do with this type of atmosphere and tell them, it's mine. No, say it's mine. While you're upstanding, let me say something. The reason why they call themselves grasshoppers, if you study grasshoppers, grasshoppers go alone. They are loners. In other words, they were saying, we see ourselves as grasshoppers, which means we are divided. We are not united. Can I tell you that the enemy doesn't want to attack your assignment? He wants to attack your agreement. If it's not trying to keep you from being anointed, he wants to keep you from being connected. That's why it took two men to carry the grapes. It took two men. Look around you and look for a Caleb in the house. Look for someone that is going to agree with you. Look around for someone. If the person you're sitting beside doesn't know what to do with this type of atmosphere, tell them, please, can you excuse me? I'm looking for my Joshua. I'm looking for my Caleb. I'm looking for the two men that can carry the grapes, that can give me good report. Where are my two men? If you have your two men, if you have your brother or your sister, let me see you raise your hands up. Something is about to happen in this place. I said something is about to happen in this place. I said something is about to happen in this place. This is holy ground. And I see angels all around. If you have a Joshua or a Caleb, I want you to lift your hands, because when you move, they move. When you get a promotion, they get a promotion. Whatever you do right now, God is about to, whatever you believe. I was praying this morning and God told me to tell you, I am the way. So when I step into a situation, I make a way. And you have your brother and your sister. And before I take my seat, I want you to understand that all it took to break the bounds was Paul and Silas. You just need one man, one extra person to break this thing. We're going to give God the biggest praise in this place. Look for a praise partner that is not ashamed of what God is about to do. Look for a praise partner that is crazy enough to cut, because holy commotion brings holy promotion. Look for somebody that is insane. Look for somebody that is saying, I gotta take it back. Look for somebody that is about to lose your mind. Look for somebody that says, I'm going to seize it. I seize my children. I seize my joy. I seize my peace. I seize my promotion. I seize my visa. I seize my contract. I seize it. Listen, the next season of your life, you cannot do it alone. Let us magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. Do you know the grasshopper has wings and can fly over 1,000 feet above sea level? But know what a grasshopper prefers to do? Some of you are hopping. Hopping as spies when you're supposed to be owners. Hopping into that job when you're supposed to be the boss. Settling for just a little promotion when God has made you the head and not the tail. Lift up your hands wherever you are. You cannot be small. Open up your mouth. Speak in tongues for the next 30 seconds. You cannot be small. I said you cannot be small. You cannot be small. You were a giant killer. I said you were a giant killer. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Don't let the size of the obstacle fool you. God says, I'm going to give you a land, not just grapes. I'm going to give you a future, not just a fruit. You don't even need to spy the land because I've given it to you. You're not a spy, you're an owner. You're not a spy, you're an owner. I say you're an owner. For I speak and decree and declare over everyone under the sound of my voice. Everyone lift up your hands here. I ask for the anointing that makes life easy and sweet. I ask for sweatless success. I decree over Enugu. I speak over the Word House. And I decree and declare of the increase of their enjoyment, of the increase of their benefits, of the increase of their open doors, of the increase of their favor, of the increase of their goodness this month. There shall be no end. One last thing before I go. I want you to realize and understand that it was not a scream that brought down the walls of Jericho. It was a shout. There's a difference between a scream and a shout. You scream after it happened, but you shout before it happens. So I just want to do a test run before I give the mic back to Pastor. How many people have spied the land? How many people have seen what they are believing God for come to pass? Now I want you to shout like the breakthrough.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.